God bless everyone this morning. So happy to see each and every one of you. Thankful to the Lord for all that he has done, all that he's doing, and all that he's going to do. I just peeked to my right up there, and I saw the Santiago family. God bless you guys. Those who've been with us for a few years, know Margie, Jerry, and the kids. You guys look great. So nice to see you. Amen. We have free lunch for you guys today, just FYI. All right. Happy to be here this morning. This morning we have a special guest preacher, and he is a dear friend of mine. We've known each other for many years, and Pastor Eli Reyes has been a pastor in Hempstead, the Hempstead Church of our district, for a little over 20 years now. But before he was a pastor in Hempstead, he was a missionary in Spain for many years. The Lord called him from our district to Spain, and he was a missionary there for 10 years, was it 15? 10, right? And then he came back with his family, and he's been pastoring for 20 years. And now the Lord is doing something new in his life, where he has handed the church over to one of his spiritual sons, and he's going back to Spain to continue in the mission work. And I'm honored to say that he is one of our missionaries. We sponsor him, and I know that the Lord is going to do great things through him. He's gifted, he's anointed, and I'm thankful that he's with us this morning. Help me welcome him, Pastor Eli Reyes.
God bless you all. God bless you all. Why don't you just greet your neighbor and say, what a privilege to see that happy face you got today. Amen. I'm a pastor, and that's how I like to start my happy Sundays. God bless you all. Amen. Isn't it great to be in the house of God? Amen. And it's even greater to be in a house of worship where we have dear friends. Pastor Medina and his family, I've known them for a number of years. I'd rather not share how many years. That's always a dangerous thing, especially those of us who are demonstrating our ageness through the facial hairs. But thank God for this church. My history here with Elohim began years ago as I was a missionary, and the pastor was Pastor Del Valle, who's now living the life there in Florida. And I used to come to this church when it was in the other facility, and I used to share about our mission in Spain. And I think I've come here maybe once or twice to preach after that, and now I returned back to Spain a couple years ago. I had been in my church for roughly 18 years after returning from Spain, and I was happy there. That's why I lasted that long, and I've lasted now. It's been close to 21 years now. A very great congregation that I recommend anybody to pastor, except for Pastor Medina and his family, of course. And so I was telling God, you know, isn't there a place out there that I could actually serve during the remaining productive years of my ministry? And so I was getting a lot of invitations, like any Puerto Rican, to Florida. And I was, you know, the Florida Multicultural District was inviting me to share about missions. I was teaching on missions. And that kind of like, you know, I've been teaching at the School of Missions for a number of years. And that kind of like stirred my heart. And I was thinking, wow, this is awesome. I don't have to shovel snow anymore. I don't have to deal. I could deal with this weather right now. I don't like snow at all. So I was already like saying to myself, God has something for me in Florida. So I even started taking my vacations in Florida, kind of like getting my my daughters adjusted to the life over there. But 2 years ago, one of our missionaries decided to invite us to one of the missions trip for pastors in Spain. And so I've been engaged with the missions work in Spain for a number of years besides serving. And I told Antonio, I don't know if he's been here. He's coming on Tuesday. All right. So this is Spain week. All right. And so I told Antonio, you know, I've sent you, your wife, I've sent a number of missionaries. I've sent, you know, God sent me some years ago. I'm not interested in traveling all over Spain to, you know, to share with other pastors. That's just not my thing right now. I'm just settled down teaching, preaching in my church, sending missionaries. And basically, that's where I'm at right now. I didn't share anything about leaving the church. I think it would have given him a heart attack at that time. But yes, anyways, to make a long story short, he convinced me, but after 6 months of trying to get me to go to Spain. And so eventually, I went last year in February. And so I was reluctant to go, but then we were arriving at their convention. And because they heard I was leaving, I was going to be part of this trip, the first thing they did when they found out was invite me to teach about missions at their convention. Their convention was going to be completely on missions, everything from beginning to end. And I found that very unique and very exciting, and that I was going to be able to share in their teaching sessions. So I started to get excited. And when I got there, everything was going well until I got to the seminary in Spain. And that was one of our stops. And so I was there just looking at, I had received an invitation to go there like around 11 years ago. And so the superintendent, who's the superintendent now of the Assemblies of God, was the one who invited me. And I was so excited because my wife, I went to Spain single, and I won her for Christ. I discipled her. I prayed her for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She got it while I was praying for her. And I said, God, I just need to get married with her. That's the only thing, the fulfillment of all the works of the Holy Spirit, you know. And so we've been together in ministry for many years. And so I said to Mari, who's not here today, she's recovering from a procedure they did due to a tumor. Thank God it's benign. They invited me to Spain to be at the seminary to direct it and everything. And I'm excited. And she told me the following. She said, honey, if Juan Carlos invited you, I won't go. But if God invited you, we will definitely go. So that was the end of that story, because God did invite me. I found out soon, praying. And then this time around, I stayed quiet. I said, let me keep quiet and let me not just say anything. And what I could tell you is that I left my heart, not in San Francisco. I left my heart in the seminary in Spain, and I got to go pick it up before I have a heart attack. And that's how, that's the season that we're in right now. We're just July 18th. We're going to be leaving. I don't know if there's some images, or they already showed them, of my family. Maria is not here today. Today, actually, they're giving us our farewell event, which is not a happy day, sort of, you know what I mean? After 20 and a half years of being in that church, there, you know, we got to say bye to these great people, brothers and sisters. And then my daughters are, you know, they're going through that emotional change. My wife is still recovering from her operation. So keep us in prayer, and we will definitely be sending newsletters to the ministry here. I think you just might have received a recent one. If not, we're already in the business of reporting to our sponsor churches. And yes, so yeah, this is just something simple. We want to thank you for adopting us as one of your missionaries. That is my wife. She weighs 103 pounds now because of the operation, but soon, hopefully, she'll be back to that size, at least size 4, for those of women who are understanding of all this stuff. And then my other daughter, is to her right, is the 21-year-old. They think she's 13. And then the other one is just turning 18. She just graduated from cosmetology school and high school and is turning 18. So that's 3 in 1. And we're just happy that at this season of our lives, we can sow the seed of the gospel in a country that is nothing like this one. In fact, most of the world is not like the United States. There is close, if you subtract evangelicals from the religious demographics around the world, if you subtract evangelicals, there are approximately 90% of the world's population that does not hold to the biblical gospel. That is a great challenge. And so while we go and see churches around every corner, that is something that you don't see in Spain. There are over 6,000 cities that don't have one evangelical church of any kind, Protestant, Episcopal, nothing. There's just the regular, what we would call our mother, quote-unquote, religion. That's it. There's nothing else in those cities, and there's over 2,000 of those cities that don't have even an evangelical church right next to them to kind of like do an outreach. So there's a great need, and God has called us to, you can pass on to the next two images. The next image is the seminary where we will be preparing people for ministry. I will be working with their online program because their ministry is growing around, not just in Spain, but they also have students around Europe. And then the next one is just a view of some of the students that are there equipping for ministry. So this is our, when I say our, now I'm saying not just my family, but this is our ministry as a church together. You have become part of our church, of our outreach in Spain, and we want you to be excited. We want you to pray for us, and we want you to call us. Some time ago, I think they passed out some prayer cards. That's us. And just keep us as we move into this transition. It's a pretty hefty one, moving to Europe and just starting our life in a different place altogether. But we are trusting God that God is going to put people in their lives as he has in recent months to unite with us in prayer and give us the moral support that we need. Amen. How many are going to be praying for us? Amen. So thank you very much. And once again, thank Pastor Medina and his family for the opportunity for allowing me to be here today. So the title of my message this morning is No Parking. And I'm sure that if you don't see it on this side, most of you have seen this sign somewhere around the city, especially around here. It took me a few minutes to park. And then I said, they must have some parking in this little lot they have next door. And I did find a parking. But I'm sure most of you at some point in your life have had a great experience with this little sign that's all over the city. This is a very congested place, and this is the last sign you want to be seeing on the street. This is the last sign you want to be seeing in an area where you're looking for a spot to park, and all of a sudden, it just becomes a nightmare going around the blocks, trying to find some space to come to church and praise God, or whether you're going out to visit a friend, whether you're going out to do family business or personal business. Seeing this sign can be a very unique experience, especially if you end up there and don't notice that it's there, or don't notice the right signs that say you're not allowed to park in that area during certain times, and then all of a sudden you come back and you see a great little note on behalf of the city village officers, and then you have to end up, you know, dishing out some money in order to subsidize the experience you had in that parking lot. Well, I want to share with you this morning about no parking, but in terms of your life, because many of us, praise God, so you do not just, we just don't see this whole issue of no parking in relation to a vehicle or any type of vehicle, whether it's a motorcycle on a street. many of us have part our lives. Many of us have part our dreams. Many of us have part purposes that God has for our lives. And I want to inspire you this morning to not put your life in parking, to allow God to continue His life story, to continue to develop His narrative in your life, and that you will fulfill everything God has for your life. Now, I'm going to use Philippians chapter 3, and I want you to read with me chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. And as you're looking for the scripture, I'm sure most of you are aware that the Apostle Paul is the one that was writing this scripture. It was a letter to express his appreciation for a church in Philippi. And not just that, but it was to also communicate with one of his supporting churches while he was imprisoned. And this is one of the unique things of this scripture. While Paul is imprisoned, he writes to this church. We're reading chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, no parking. And tell your neighbor, no parking. You got to remember this message every time you see a no parking sign, because now that sign is going to take on a whole new meaning for your life, and you're going to remember me for the rest of your life. All right? So, no parking. Paul is writing in prison. And I thought that was very unique considering the theme that I am submitting to you. You know, life blows in many directions, and sometimes the winds of difficulties blow upon our life, blow upon our health, blow upon our families, marriages, our sons, objectives we have in life. You know, things get rather difficult at times. And maybe you've experienced the loss of a loved one. Maybe a significant person in your life abandoned you recently, and you're still trying to grab a hold of your life, and you're still trying to settle into the new situation that you have. Maybe your kids are now grown up and they're leaving you with the empty crib syndrome, or maybe you lost a long-term employment and now you're trying to figure out your finances. You're trying to meet all your needs financially. You know, things happen in life. And I thought it was very interesting to know in certain studies that many people, when they go through circumstances similar to the ones that I have just mentioned to you, tend to put their life on hold, tend to put their projects on hold, tend to put their dreams on hold. And the word we're using this morning is to park your goals in life, to park your dreams in life. When life hits you hard, it's difficult sometimes to recover from circumstances that we often go through, and we stop dreaming. We stop moving forward. We put our lives on hold. We put our lives on parking. Well, just like you and I who go through circumstances, Paul was a prisoner at the time when he was writing this letter to the Philippians. The Philippian church had cooperated with him as he was journeying, doing his missionary journeys. And not only that, but at the present time, when he's writing the scripture, when he's writing this letter, they had even sent a brother from their church, which I really don't recommend that you put his name, Epaphroditus, for any of your kids. It's a rather strange name. And so they said, brother, we need somebody to go and encourage Paul. So they sent this brother, and they also sent him with an offering. And he talks about how thankful he was for the offering that the church had sent him. But he's imprisoned. And although Paul oftentimes was beaten, and oftentimes he was imprisoned, this was not the first time. Sometimes he had been beaten so bad he was left for dead for preaching the gospel. But this is not the normal life that he wanted. He would rather, just like any missionary, want to live, you know, the life of preaching the gospel and just having a smooth ride through this journey. Because we all want that, right? We want to go through life and we don't want to know nothing about major stops. We don't want to know nothing about having to go through a prison experience like Paul. We rather just cruise through life. But unfortunately, it doesn't always happen that way. And so Paul is encountered with a circumstance that breaks the monotony of his life. Although I say, once again, he was rather used to this. But, you know, now he's in prison. It's not the place you want to be. It's not your home. It's not where you want to be living with your family. Or you don't want to be going through a circumstance like that, but we all are going to have to face certain circumstances in life that produce major changes in our lifestyle, that produce major changes in our emotional life, in our financial life. And so I've been encouraged by the reading of this scripture, because I feel that we need to respond to the question, what is it that we must do in order to overcome those moments when there is a drastic life change in our lives? And I want to encourage you today to jot down these four principles that I have discovered in the reading of this scripture, because Paul is saying, I'm moving forward. And the interesting thing is, where is he moving forward to? I mean, you are chained. You are imprisoned. But you see, there are certain things that we need to understand about moving forward that have nothing to do with where you are at in life. And so as we encounter these life changes, as we move through life and are challenged by changes and by circumstances of things that we were not expecting, where life throws you a hard ball, I want you to see how Paul is responding and challenge you with that response. And so Paul, the first principle that I want to lay out here is the principle of readjustment. The principle of readjustment. Everybody say readjustment. You see, because Paul is living his life, he's preaching the gospel, and then all of the sudden there is a major adjustment, there is a change in his life. Whereas he's living as a free person, now he finds himself locked up in prison. Where he is free, now he is no longer, he is experiencing bondage because of the chains, because of being locked up in a prison. And so when life comes at you with a change, you have to learn how to adjust to those changes. And this is what we're talking about in terms of readjustment. You know, here in the United States, they ask us pastors, you know, what do you want to see in the next 5 years of your ministry? Many of you are into the coaching stuff. and you got somebody coaching you, and they're asking you, what do you want to see in your life during the next 5-10 years? What do you want to accomplish? So here in the United States, we're really, you know, planning. We're really thinking about the future, which is good, but nobody knows the future. We just tried our best to plan and figure things out. But what happens when you're on the road to accomplishing all those goals in your life, when you have set out in life to conquer certain things and to accomplish those things that you might have written down, that things that maybe even God had shared with you, like God told Paul when he was first converted, you're going to be a light to the Gentiles. So Paul's preaching and he's fulfilling God's dreams for his life. But all of a sudden, there's a major stop. There's a major interruption in his life. And all of a sudden, everything seems to be on hold. And so when we are experiencing something that drastically changes what we think is the path that we should be going through, we have to understand that it's a moment for readjustments. And we as human beings don't like to readjust. Now, there was a time when we had a daycare center in our church until the city started to provide those kind of services free for preschoolers. And then, so that was going to be a major challenge. And I always tell my wife, you were the most difficult employee I had during the 18 years I was. I'd never be the boss of your wife, all right? And so, talking about employment, all right, the other things you guys could share. All right, so the thing is that my wife is the kind of person that, I don't know if your husband or your wife is like that, or your children, is like, you know, things have to be black and white, and if there's no grayness, all right? And so if you're going to put me to work from 6 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon, that's my life schedule. And so lo and behold, it was because of my wife's difficulties trying to readjust to new schedules that I had to put a policy in place. If you're going to work here, your schedule could change any time, all right? And then so all of a sudden, my wife looks at the employee manual and she goes, I don't agree with this, but anyways. All right, so that's the way she is. And of course, I have to try and adjust to her situation too and her style. But every time I would change a schedule and she would work 9 to 6, she would come home grumbling little by little and saying, you changed my schedule. We don't like changes. So that's why when you get hit hard with something, it's not just the difficulty of the process, but it seems like things are changing. It seems like now you have to enter into a season of readjusting things. And we are people who don't like readjustments because we want to cruise through life, right? And so Paul was interrupted. The man was preaching. The man was teaching. The man was on a mission. And then all of a sudden, things physically speaking come to a hold. But he learned about readjustments, and he learned that what's important is not where you're located. Your location does not determine your destiny. Your location is not an indicator that you are not pursuing God's dreams for your life, and that God's purposes and that God's objectives for your life are not going to come to pass. Why? Because Paul understood that no matter where he found himself, he understood that that in essence must have been part of the journey to get to where he eventually was going to get to. And so most of the time we disassociate that in our lives. When there's some kind of interruption, when there's a change, when there's an adjustment, we associate that with, now I'm not going to fulfill what God has for my life. Now the road is going to take me in another direction. But I just want to let you know that wherever God wants you to get to whatever purposes he has for your life. He is capable to get you from A to B. No matter where in the middle of A and B, you have to make some stops, because God is powerful enough to get you to where he has established to get you. Amen? So we need to learn to readjust. So Paul is kind of like really open about this. And he tells the church in Philippi, listen, I thank you for your financial help, but I want to let you know something. I've learned, and read it in Philippians chapter 4, I've learned to live whatever are my circumstances, whether I have a lot of financial means, whether I have little, I have learned to live whatever, through whatever circumstances I face in life. I can live to live in poverty. I can live when I have an abundance. I have been taught to live whatever my circumstances are. And so this principle of readjustments implies that in life you're going to have to learn to navigate, and you're going to have to learn to live in whatever circumstances. You're going to have to learn when you have a steady job, and you need to keep the smile when you get fired. And you need to, when your children are with you, you need to learn to live with the happiness that you have. But then you have to learn to readjust when they're not there. When you are going through life, life is going to change things sometimes. That doesn't mean that your purpose has changed. It's just that to get to your purpose, to fulfill God's dreams for your life, there are things that you cannot see, because you are not capable of seeing the road that your God is going to put you through to get to your destiny. And the first thing you often think is, because I have a detour in life, I wasn't expecting these circumstances, that now everything is over. No, everything isn't over. God still has his purpose for your life. God is still doing things in your life. But you aren't capable of seeing all those roadblocks. But thank God that in spite of the roadblocks, he's still going to get you where he needs to get you. Let me go to my second point. Second principle is resistance. And resistance means to refuse to accept or comply. Resist means not to stay silent. Resist is the idea that you are willing to resist whatever it may come your way in order to continue your life project, just like the Apostle Paul is showing us. Now, if you look in his letter, which is a very short letter, it speaks volumes about how he resisted the temptation to even think that his current location was necessary in an indicator of him not having more joy in life. You see, when you read the whole scripture, you're going to notice that there are more words, there are plenty of times that in his scripture he talks about the joy he has. And so he is imprisoned. He has been cut off from his ministry. He is no longer able to develop what he was called to do. But instead of sitting down and having a pity party, instead of sitting down and doing like many of us will probably do and start crying over the fact that God has now forgotten us, that God has now abandoned us, the guy is just saying, people, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice in the Lord. Now, this is a guy that's been beaten. This is a gentleman that's going through a hardship in life. And the church in Philippi is saying, You know what? The Apostle Paul is probably, you know, sad. You know, he's probably going through difficult circumstances. You know, we were going to collect an offering for him. Well, let's, you know, let's collect the offering. And, but not only that, but let's send somebody over there to comfort him. And then all of a sudden, Paul is saying, forget you. I'm doing good. I'm resisting the temptation to see this circumstance as something that's going to completely destroy me. Hello. I'm resisting the temptation to look at this as that this is the end of my life, the end of my ministry. You see, this is our thinking sometimes. When life throws a hard ball, when things change in our life, we begin to see the end near. And Paul is saying thank you, but no thank you. You know, I still have joy in this prison. And I'm going to resist the temptation to act like someone who has gone to the end of his road. It's all implying there's still more left to do. God still has another plan. And you're not going to come here and visit somebody who's completely depressed, that's completely destroyed. You're coming here and you're going to see a man that is alive, that is well, that is encouraging the church. The church is more sad than he is. He is telling the church, you guys got to get joy. You got to learn how to live this life. You need to learn that in the midst of your circumstances, when there are life changes, resist the temptation to think that all is over. Resist the temptation to think that there's no more joy. Even in the midst of my prisons, there is joy in my heart. You need to resist the temptation to think that just because you're going through a difficult season now, that is the end of God's purposes and dreams for your life. There's still more to come, people. And we already know that because Paul got out and he still did some more. But what I'm saying is resist the temptation to go into depression. When you start going through those changes and all of a sudden your mind starts roaming around the ideas, things have ended, things are not the same. And yes, they're not the same. But you need to resist the temptation to say, this season is going to destroy me. No, this season is going to build me up. I'm going to spread joy around the world. I'm going to spread the energies that God is still giving me. Are you listening to me today? Number three. Reposition yourself. Repositioning means to put yourself in a different position. You see, Paul could not move. He was locked, but he discovered that he had something that nobody could take away from him, even if he was locked up. And we overlook this. Paul started to write. And you know, the New Testament is almost all written by Paul. So he said, you can stop me from moving from place to place, but you don't understand. I can move and I can impact people through my writing. Much so that I'm still talking about him and he's been gone for a long time. You see, Paul learned to reposition himself. In other words, the repositioning was not moving, because, you know, many of you would say, once you get me out of the prison, that's mean repositioning. I'm no longer in prison. Once, now I'm over this season, right? No. Once you put me in another circumstance, once you give me a new job, once my kids come back, once my financial situation changes, then, no. Paul is repositioning himself even within prison, where there's no movement, where he cannot leave, where he cannot move anywhere. But he has learned that you need to reposition things, and that it's not always physical repositioning. It's how can I still be an impact even when I'm in this circumstance? And so you're saying, well, God, in order for you to fulfill my dreams, your dreams for my life, and once I'm over this season, then I will begin, you know, like everything is on pause now. And then all of a sudden, after I'm over this season, then I'll come back to what you have for me. And Paul is saying, no, you, circumstances like that are going to come, but you just need to say, okay, how can I still be an impact? How can I still move forward? And it's not always about physical. Most of the time, it's about internal. It's about your thought process. It's about how you're thinking in life. You see, the enemy has already made damage to you if you are not repositioned mentally. And so Paul says, you're not going to stop me. I'm going to continue having influence. I'm going to write. And this writing, and he wrote other things, but this one, those weren't inspired by the Holy Spirit. But it's the one that was written in that prison that was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the church has brought it to us to this day as a scripture to even motivate you today, centuries later. What he wrote in that prison is still impacting people because he repositioned himself mentally. He says, I can't go out to preach. I can't go to a synagogue to preach. I can't go to a city, but I can be an influence even where I'm at. You see, I remember a lady that was in Seville, and she told me, for years, my husband never had a passion for mission, and God had called me to the mission field, and he called me to Spain. And my husband positioned me, and he told me, you're not going nowhere. And if you go to the mission field, that's the end of our relationship. So he positioned me to stay where I was. And she said, I learned my lesson that you need to reposition your heart and your mind. Because this is what happened. I met her when she was already a seasoned person. All right, you know what that means. And so she was in Seville, and she was aging already, you know, up there. And then I said, what are you doing coming to the mission field at this time of your life? And she started to explain that to me. She started to say how her husband said, no, no. And then he died. And when she was going through her mourning process, she said she went to church. There was a guest speaker that day. And all of a sudden, he gave her a word, a powerful word. He told her, do you remember that I called you? And he didn't know her for anything. Do you remember I had called you to Spain? Well, this is the time to go. And years had gone by. You see, and she taught me that in life you have to reposition yourself. And she says, during all those years, I knew God had called me until my husband told me I'm not going to the mission field. And I thought that was the end of God's purposes. But you see, we have to reposition ourselves. And we have to understand that no matter what we go through, when God says something about you, he already knows everything you're going to go through. He already knows those roadblocks. He already knew that his wife was not going, her husband was not going to say yes. But his plans are forever. And now I've seen her in Spain ministering happily. And she says there was roadblocks. But God's purposes were fulfilled, and I had to learn my lesson that you need to reposition your heart sometimes, that you need to reposition your mind. And let me close with this. Reignite So as you can tell, we're dealing with the R's. We're dealing with readjustment. We're dealing with resistance. We're dealing with repositioning ourselves. And now we're dealing with reigniting. So Paul, just like many of us, was living his normal ministry, and now he is in prison. And so what I like about life is that it challenges us. You know, sometimes when something comes around that's a surprise to us, when something that we had decided was not what we had planned, oftentimes, you know, there's a candle that is dimming. Oftentimes, there is a spirit that is crushed. Oftentimes, there is a strength that is now debilitating. And we are going through that season, like maybe some of you are going through that season now, where you're crushed because someone who you dearly love told you, "I don't want to be with you anymore." Or maybe because something that you had invested in so much now is taken from you. Well, Paul teaches us, like I said before, that in those times, you have to find the fortitude. And he says the words that I learned when I was still a young kid. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And he's writing, and he's being an influence even in his prison, and he's readjusting. But all this is happening because in the midst of his circumstances, when just like us, when our dreams are shattered, when everything goes the opposite direction, when everything is on hold, it's only the grace of God that sustains us. And so that's why, because he says, "I can do all things through Christ because he strengthens me," that's why we see him say, "I got joy. I got power. I am strengthened. This is not the end of the road. This is not the end of my ministry. This situation is feeding power into my life. Out of my own strength, no." And just to give him some added fortitude, then the church in Philippi says, "We're going to send you a brother that's full of the Holy Spirit." In fact, if you read the scripture, he got sick and Paul was still in good health. The guy almost died. They brought him to bring joy and fortitude to the Apostle Paul, and the guy almost ended up dying. But guess who was still alive and kicking? It was the Apostle Paul, because he was reignited. And there's just something so powerful and strange about circumstances that you go through in life that seem to want to throw you off the journey and the road. It's just God's grace that is sufficient to reignite the mission you have in life, to reignite the power that you have, to boost you up, to lighten the fire that's in you, to take that debilitated spirit and to just fortify it, to get that crushed heart, the wounded heart, maybe from someone who abandoned you. And just to tell you, like many women during my ministry, "What am I going to do, Pastor, now that my husband has left me? What am I going to do now that I don't have a job and I'm facing retirement? What am I going to do now when somebody betrayed me?" I say, let's look to the prisons and let's discover that there are circumstances in your life that God allows not to destroy you, but to build you up. And that's why Paul is saying, "People, let's get the show on the road. There's still more life. I'm with joy. Everybody put a smile on your face. This thing's, I'm not shipwrecked. I'm not damaged. There's something going on here. I feel strength. I feel power. And this is what you need today. You need to be reignited again. You cannot allow for the debilitating thoughts in your mind to destroy your spirit. You need to reposition yourself. You need to readjust. Why? Because even though Paul is in a different social location, God's dreams and God's purposes have not changed. He is the same today and forever. He is the God that strengthens you inside and outside of prison. His purposes are the same inside and outside of prison. He has wisdom, and he allows you to make the necessary adjustments you need to make in order for you to resist the temptation to think that everything has changed because of a life change. No, everything can change, but God will never change. The heavens and the earth will go away, but God's word upon your life will never go away. God will accomplish everything he has set out to accomplish in your life, no matter what you go through, no matter who leaves you, no matter who abandons you. The God of the earth is on your side, and he will never abandon his purpose for your life. Could you stand with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you because you are breaking chains, just like our brothers and sisters were singing, and maybe they could sing that now. Heavenly Father, I thank you because even though we go through the valley of the shadow of death, you will be with us. And there are so many interruptions that we look upon them as interruptions. Circumstances that we feel are going to detain what you have established for us. Our goals, our purposes, our objectives. Heavenly Father, how many hearts are wounded? How many spirits are crushed? How many minds are just going all over the place? A mother, hallelujah, that her son is now in drugs. A mother who just discovered that her husband is an alcoholic. Heavenly Father, oh my God, so many things that come our life and our lives, and we are surprised, but you're not surprised. You could see the future. And whatever you say about us, whatever you determine about our lives, will occur in spite of our prisons, in spite of the chains. They're not the physical chains we need freedom from. We need our hearts to be unchained. We need our minds to be unchained. We don't need our bodies to be unchained. We need a renewal of your purpose for our life. We need to get rid of the bondage of thinking that something happened to us and all of a sudden everything is over. No, Lord, we need a freshness of this word. And every time we look at that no parking sign, we believe, Lord, that Paul was not parked, but that your purpose was being fulfilled in the face of circumstances and debilitating things that come through our life. We'll not put our life on parking. We will move forward in your name. Maybe you need a word of prayer. I know the pastor has a team here or leaders here that can pray with you. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would touch wounded hearts. Heavenly Father, if there's someone that you brought here as a visitor, hallelujah, and that person came here under those pressured circumstances, that maybe something has changed in their life and you put it in their heart to come to this house this morning. And we ask that this message will bring conviction, and that your Holy Spirit will bring conviction to their hearts, Lord, and that they will know that without you, Jesus, our life is meaningless, Lord. And as they travel and through and journey through those hard circumstances, they need you, Lord, in their lives. May they give their lives to you this morning. May they give their future to you, Heavenly Father. And if you need that prayer, please come forward as our brothers and sisters minister to us in this song. There is power. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
as we sing this next song, we want to invite you to come up. Don't leave this place without being prayed over. If you feel like this message has impacted you or you just want somebody to pray with you, come on up. Come on up. Don't worry about who's looking at you or who's here. God is here. He has spoken into your life.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.